Well, I'm curious about the diversification happening or not happening in the mining sector. Gold miners are gold miners, platinum group metals miners are platinum group metals miners, iron ore. You know, you understand, they've got some offshoots, of course, but we're not seeing that much aggressive alternatives coming through. We are seeing lots of pressure at the moment on platinum group metals, companies that have been making a killing in the boom times, risk now seeing it slow down dramatically or even come to an end. One company, though, appears to be diversifying far more than any other in the industry. And Sibanye, which started out as a gold mining company operating the old Goldfield South Africa mines, diversified into platinum group metals, made a big acquisition in the United States called Stillwater, and now it plans to spend more than 7 billion rand on a joint venture with an Australian mining firm called Ionia to mine metals used in batteries. And David Mackay is the editor at miningmax.com. Is Sibanye the most versatile and diverse and possibly nimble mining company in the country, David?
Yeah, definitely the latter, I would say. Nimble, very entrepreneurial. But I think they've kind of recognized, you mentioned they started off with the gold in South Africa, very deep level, very expensive, very risk-laden from a safety perspective in particular, and then have moved into platinum and then have looked at how the platinum market's moving, and they've kind of thought to themselves, hang on a sec, there's a bit more to this platinum demand than just jewelry and investment, and that's the industrial side. And a lot of platinum goes into mobility, into cars. Now, with the advent of, you know, the electric vehicle industry, that's opened a whole new suite of metals, and that's what they're getting into.
And it goes beyond electric vehicles as well. I mean, with the world moving to more renewable sources of energy, battery storage is a theme for the next, I don't know, until we come up with a better idea. And those sort of huge batteries, of course, are absolutely pivotal for the future too.
Yeah. And so, I mean, the whole increase in demand for batteries is, it's quite different. If you remember the last major mining boom, date yet, I don't know, 2002 to 2008, somewhere around there, the so-called super cycle was very kind of GDP-driven, and specifically China. So the industrialization of China sort of precipitated a massive demand for minerals, and the super cycle was predicated upon that. This is way different. This has a kind of multi-generational feel. It's also politically sanctioned across all major economies. It's a massive move towards decarbonization. Consumers want it, and governments have to listen to their consumers. They have to listen to their constituency, and hence the politically sanctioned aspect of this market demand. I don't know if that's going to be a short-lived thing. I suspect not. But whilst I wouldn't say the days of the internal combustion engine are over, I think we're going to see massive uptake in a variety of batteries going into electric cars. I say variety because science is outdoing itself. So you get batteries that use lithium, and you get others that have manganese. And then you have the hydrogen economy, which is, you know, is fuel cell technology. Won't get into the details. Suffice to say that it brings PGMs or platinum group metals back into the picture. So it's a pretty fascinating place to be at the moment, mining. But then, Bruce, I would say that.
No, you would. I mean, I recall my first ever discussion with you an awfully long time ago, and you said, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, why is a guy dedicating his life writing about a sunset industry? And the mining industry has just grown and grown and grown since then. Where it's not growing is in gold. And I think what is happening in Sibanye's case, and Neil Froneman, the chief executive, has made it clear, saying unless there's some kind of miracle in the gold price, they won't be mining gold in South Africa by 2030.
Yeah, it's the one part of Sibanye that still needs to be ticked, as it were, the one part of the strategy you want to say what's happening. And valuation, the fact that they exposed the gold, as I mentioned earlier, has a big impact on valuation. And I think Sibanye kind of recognize that it's holding them back. Hence, you know, there was a lot of talk, I'm not sure if you followed it, but towards the end of last year, beginning of this year, a lot of talk about Sibanye maybe doing a two-way deal with Gold Fields and Anglo Gold, creating the South African champion to kind of breathe new life into the gold strategy. But the important part of that was that the gold they were buying in Anglo Gold and Gold Fields wasn't in South Africa. They are Johannesburg-registered businesses or headquartered, but their gold operations are all over the world. And so I think they were seeking that kind of diversification, less politically risky, less safety problematic, and with longer lives than they've got into that. Because, so a big question mark over that. But these battery metal deals are very interesting because it raises the question of, well, you're making all this money now, you promise us dividends, and you're just blowing it all on projects that may or may not be good ones. So that is an interesting question to ask about Sibanye as well.
No, absolutely. I mean, this deal with Ioneer, I mean, where do we find, we know that some of our cell phone components, the rare metals that are in those are only found in places like the DRC and other hard-to-access places, which is one of the reasons why they are rare and hard to access, makes them incredibly valuable. But what is Sibanye looking to do with this Australian company, something in which it can invest 7 billion rand?
Yeah, so in the case of Ioneer, I think they've taken with all of their recent battery metals investments and over 10 billion rands worth of investments since the beginning of the year, they've gone into joint ventures or taken a large but nonetheless minority stake in the business, non-operational as well, but have also bought shares in the parent business that owns those assets, giving themselves an option to take over at some point in time. So they've taken very much a portfolio kind of approach to their battery metal strategy. Same with Ioneer. So they've gone into a 50-50 joint venture and have taken 7.3%, I think the number is 7.6%, in Ioneer itself, just to give them that option.
And had it not globalized at the time that it did, had it not taken and done the Stillwater deal, which has paid off very, very handsomely courtesy of the boom that we have seen, however long-lived that might be, in Platinum Group Metals prices, would Sibanye be in a position to be doing this today?
I think they got lucky, to be honest. I think they recognized that they could do in the platinum sector what they were able to do in gold, and that's put adjacent mines that were separately owned together, extract synergies and try and derive some value in that way. In the case of PGMs, though, I mean, they do say they read the market, and I give them some credit for that, but I don't think they even vaguely understood, nor did anyone, just how massive the uptick in demand for PGMs would be. And I think that's really sort of given them a massive fillip in terms of their overall business direction, the cash that they're generating. I think not having done that PGM deal initially, they would never have had the platform that they've got now, and it's making a lot of money. So I kind of facetiously asked about the dividend. I think the investments that they've done in battery metals have been bite-sized, and they're not all demanding cash in the here and now. In the case of Ioneer, they only have to sort of pay that money in a year's time or so. I think they've really gone about it in a sensible way, haven't imperiled the dividend, which is now back firmly in place. And it's looking like a very smart, nimble, as you said, entrepreneurial business, but not yet getting the full value for what they've invested in, but they would argue.
David Mackay, always wonderful to get your insights on South Africa's mining sector, editor at miningmax.com. And that conversation did happen. He probably doesn't remember it, but I was petrified. It was an interview situation. David was one of the people interviewing me. I wasn't thinking that. I didn't have a clue what I was doing. Don't tell him. In that interview. And he was saying, you're probably thinking this. No, I'm not. But yes, smile and nod. And hey, got the job. So that was good. David Mackay, the editor at miningmax.com.